Go Wild is a free social community created for and by hunters. This means that unlike mainstream social media, your trophy pictures won't be censored. They're encouraged. As you spend time on Go Wild, you will earn awesome rewards such as gift cards, free swag, and big discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex. You will even earn $10 just for signing up. Visit downloadgowild.com and sign up today.
The Houndsman XP podcast is fueled by Joy Dog Food. Joy Dog Food has a rich tradition of supporting the Houndsmen of America. Founded in 1945, Joy is proud of its history and the relationship it has built with the American Houndsmen. And in 76 years, there's never been a recall. Made with 100% American-made high-quality ingredients, Joy Dog Food has one of the highest calorie-dense formulas on the market. For 76 years, this made-in-America product has kept hunting dogs in the field day after day, season after season. And when we say made in America, Joy has a long track record of fighting for American freedoms by being on the front lines against the animal rights movement and their extremist tactics. Joy will fuel your hounds and fight for your freedoms, fueled by Joy. This is the Houndsman XP Podcast.
Good dog, get that burn. Get that burn here.
The original podcast for the complete Houndsman. The podcast that represents our lifestyle of extreme performance.
Get up there! Get him! Get him! Yeah, good boy!
Good boy, Ranger!
Uniting houndsmen across the globe, from east to west, north to south.
You know, if you're going to catch a cat or a lion, you know, you have to have teamwork.
We take you to the wildest places on earth.
Yeah, so how many days a week do you spend out there?
As much as I can, to be honest with you. Anytime that I get, I'm out there.
Join us for every heart-pounding adventure on Houndsman XP.
I'll tell you like I tell everyone else, I'm going to hunt whether you're here or not, so you might as well be here.
On this episode of the Houndsman XP Podcast, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't like to laugh, if you don't like good stories, if you don't like stories from the good old days up to present, if you don't like hearing stories about hard hunters and what it takes to get to the top, just turn it off now. We're going to have Chris Allen and Bub Blackwell joining me on this episode of the Houndsman XP Podcast. We're going to talk mainly about Chris and you know, how Bub got to know him. And you guys will remember Bub Blackwell from episode 229, I believe, when I interviewed him and his family. They're full-time coon hunters. They make a living off of these hounds. And Bub hunts hard. He hunts about every night. So he joins me on this podcast to talk to his good friend, Chris Allen. For those of you who don't know who Chris Allen is, Chris is a lifelong coon hunter. He's a very prominent figure within the PKC hunt circuit. He handled a couple dogs to pretty high levels in PKC. And at one time, the dog he handled and owned, Milk Creek Molly, was the all-time winner. And we named this podcast $10 at a Time because back when Milk Creek Molly was on top, he did a lot of that winning in open events for $10. And to get to where he did with this dog was an amazing story. And you're going to get to hear it. You're going to hear what it took to get there. I went up and hunted with Chris and Bub and their buddy Zach in Ohio, and we sat down at a Waffle House afterwards and recorded this podcast. So there is some background noise. You can call that the ambiance. The Coon Hunter's Mecca, the Waffle House, is open 24 hours, and it's a common stopover after a hard hunt. Grab a cup of coffee for the ride home, or maybe fuel up with some waffles, biscuits, and gravy, breakfast stuff. Waffle House is not a sponsor of this show. It's just a great place to stop. It was a little bit loud, a little bit chaotic, but we got her tuned down and brought a great show for you. A special shout out to Bub Blackwell for prodding me in and encouraging me to do this interview. Chris is a great guy. He loves to laugh. He loves to have a good time. Anybody that knows him, he's always joking around. He loves to tell great stories. We are going to get into some stories, some old stories, how he got started, the whole nine yards. We're going to talk a lot about Molly, but hang on, you're going to hear which dog was his favorite to ever hunt. This is a great episode, folks. I hope you enjoy it. We're going to get right down to it. The Old South Dog Box is rocking. It's time to dump the box. Briar Creek Kennels is your complete hound hunting outfitter. Boots, lights, collars, and tracking equipment. Dog boxes, kennel supplies, collars, clothes, squalors. Whew, they have it all. Briar Creek Kennel is a Garmin and Dogtra dealer. Owner Chris Girth will ensure Briar Creek Kennel customers will get top-of-the-industry customer service. Whether you purchase from their website or you find them at a major coonhound event, Chris and his staff will share expert knowledge and experience about every product they offer. Chris Girth is a top competitor and breeder of hounds. He knows what gear you need to be successful. Look for Briar Creek Kennels on the web for a complete online store or look at their fully stocked trailer at any major coonhound event. Briar Creek Kennels, offering a hound hunting public generations of excellence. Hey, don't forget to check out Dogs Are Treed. They have the best gear in the industry. From paws are protected, dogs are hydrated, medical kits. Their travel tie-outs are sweet, and you need to have one if you do a lot of traveling with your hounds. You can find our new leather patch caps for Houndsman XP at Dogs Are Treed. Go to houndsmanxp.com, click on the sponsors page, and then it'll take you right over there to Dogs Are Treed. They've been a great friend. Support the people that support you. Shop at Dogs Are Treed. Use the promo code HXP 20% off. That's all capital letter HXP 20, the percent sign, all capital letters OFF. HXP 20% off and get 20% off of your next order from Dogs Are Treed.
Oh, man, I'll be doing some editing here.
Yes, you will.
I can already tell. I can already tell. All right. So it actually got quiet in here. This might work. This might work. How's my volume over here? You guys all right?
Yeah.
All right. All right, so we're in Springboro, Ohio, and we just got in from a coon treeing contest. It was something.
We treed a couple.
It was something, wasn't it?
Yes, it was something.
I got Chris, Allen, and Bub Blackwell with me. Bub, welcome back to the podcast, man.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. So, Chris, Bub's been on me to have you on the podcast. He sent me like two or three messages. It's like, what do you think about Chris Allen? You need to get Chris Allen. And then I find out after we ran Saunders a couple weeks ago how tight you two are.
Not with him all the time.
And we should have had Saunders here too.
He's about 20 minutes from here.
We could have had like a big. I hear it's pretty entertaining when the two of you are together.
It's different. It's different.
But you guys hunt together, you fish together, you do all kinds of stuff together.
We've been friends since, let's see, 85 or 86, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably 84, 85 maybe.
Been friends longer than I've been born.
Yeah. Yeah, and we fight like brothers, literally.
Definitely.
That's what I hear.
Mad at each other and carry on.
That's what I hear. I'm going to drink some coffee. There we go. But, hey, so let's talk about our hunt tonight. Let's start it off. do we want to start on the high note or the low note?
Stay on the high note. Okay. Leave it way up there.
All right.
I think we treat 15 or 16 of them.
Don't tell a good one.
Yeah. Here, bud, let me help you out here, buddy. All right. Let me help you out just a little bit. There we go. Let's see if we can get that going. All right. Now, Chris, you've done a lot in competition and just coon hunting in general, competition hunting. You know, I want to talk to you about Molly. I want to talk to you about the trucks you've won. You know, Mill Creek Molly, I don't even know how many years she was the highest money winning dog in PKC. Let's just start right there. Just talk about Molly.
She was probably all time money winner till Rock pulled ahead of her. She probably wasn't the all time money winner more than 7 or 8 years, I imagine.
She was that long?
Yeah, because Tennessee Hard Rock, he got it in big chunks quick. He was a real hound.
Yeah.
I drew him a couple times. He was nice.
Yeah. So let's just go back to the beginning and how you got involved with – let's talk about how you got involved in coon hunting, and then we'll talk about then we'll get into how you got involved with Molly.
My whole family's been hunters for generations, so that was kind of natural.
Coon hunters?
Coon hunters, every rabbit, squirrel, whatever. If it was out there to get, we got it.
Yeah. You grew up right here in Springboro area?
About 6 miles from here, yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't all populated like this back then.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my brother actually first got me coon hunting. I was about 10. And then he was about 4 years. He's about 4 years older than me, Noel. And so when he reached that 17, 18-year-old age, he was done with me. And our neighbor, Bill Coyle, started taking me hunting every night. We'd go all the time.
Yeah.
I'm tickled to death that he did because he really sunk it into me.
And then you were at that age. What'd you do from that time?
My mom took me to Putting Back Coon Club in Gratis. I think it's Gratis, West Middletown. When I was 13 years old, took me to my first coon hunt. She dropped me off.
And she didn't drive you around.
We drove a 67 Mustang, and she put that dog in the back seat of the car, and she dropped me off. And I drew three old men, didn't know none of them, and we went within a mile of my house. They drove me right back home. I swear. And it was a UKC hunt, and I had no idea about the rules whatsoever. I don't know if I can tell this without getting in trouble, but I didn't know.
Statute of limitations. Okay.
I didn't know nothing about the rules, so I just struck her and treated. They told me what to do. And I remember at the end of the cache, I'll never forget this, at the end of the cache, my dog treated a possum. And they said they were minus. I won that cast. I went back to the club. I won first place. I don't know what they give me. I had like 400 and something. I've still got that trophy. It's about that tall. About 6 or 8 inches tall.
I've still got my first trophy.
My first trophy.
It was for a buddy hunt. It was a buddy hunt at Paris Crossing, Indiana.
That's awesome.
Yep. Yep.
But, yeah, I don't know. UKC, you're scratched. Or no, you're not. Yeah, you're scratched, isn't it?
Night champion, you'd be scratched.
Okay, well, she was registered, but I won that cast somehow.
What kind of dog was she?
Walker.
She's a Walker dog.
That's all I've ever had. I've hunted English dogs for my brother, but that's all I've ever had.
Yeah. Yep. Did we had a 68 Mustang, but it was already decommissioned when I was 13.
Oh, ours had holes in the back floorboard. When I got old enough to drive, that's where the beer cans went. You just stick them behind the seat, and they went out on the road.
The seat in Mom's was broken, and she had a case of empty Budweiser long decks right behind the seat. To
keep
the
it propped up. Yeah.
The seat, the slider was broken on it. So to keep it from going too far back, we put an empty case. I always thought, man, if she ever got pulled over, it'd be like, you got behind the seat.
We never did have none behind the seat because we had that big hole in the floor. They all went out.
That's great.
Well, Bub, how'd you get to know Chris?
Pretty much just seen him around the hunts when I was a kid, teenager growing up from there.
Drawing you. I was drawing you when your dad would say, ask if you could ride with me.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, pretty much always. Probably from the time I first started going to hunts around 13, 14 years old.
And yeah.
Never really watch no ball games or nothing, so I followed him. Wait on the monthly magazines to come out and see what he won. That was always kind of, and I'd see him around the hunts, thought that was awesome. And I remember he won his second truck with Mill Creek Molly, and the license plate said, "You won Molly."
Still got it.
You still got the plate?
I got the plate. I don't have a truck.
We're probably going to have to go over and take a picture of that plate.
I've got it. We'll have to dig in the garage, but I've got it.
I'll tell you what. You take a picture
and
send it to
me. Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah. That was her second
truck? That was her second truck.
All right, we're going to get in a Molly. What kind of dog would you say when you entered that first hunt, you won your first hunt you were in?
Yeah.
And how would you describe that dog now?
Worthless. Absolutely. I wouldn't feed her. She would tree up a fence post. It wouldn't hardly get out of your light. Just maybe go a couple of hundred yards and fiddle fart around. I absolutely wouldn't feed her today. But an old man in Franklin gave her to me, and I thought I was king of the world. She would tree.
Yeah.
I'd been hunting junk. Well, they were all junk. But I'd been hunting dogs that wouldn't even tree.
The first real dog that I ever had was given to me, too. It was an older walker dog, and it was a dog direct. He was 10 when I got him, and he was a direct son of Hearn's Red Eagle Dick.
No kid.
Yeah.
She was, I can tell you, she was out of Rock River Ring.
Oh.
Some of Frank Gidding's old stock.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was Bean Blossom Buck or something on the bottom side. But, man, she would tree.
Where'd that Bean Blossom stuff come from?
Tennessee, I think. I know Buck was in Tennessee. I don't remember exactly. It was Ledbetter's.
Okay.
Ledbetter's Tennessee Lead.
Yeah. I always saw that name, and I always wondered if it came from, like, over towards Bean Blossom, Indiana.
No, well, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I can't remember that bird's first name, but he was from, I want to say, Western Tennessee.
Yeah.
Southwest.
So did you continue to, what did you do? Did you just keep hunting?
I never did quit. Yeah.
You just got into it.
Got into it full force.
Your mom kept driving you in the Mustang.
Mom kept driving me in the Mustang until I was old enough to drive. And then I drove the Mustang with the holes in the floorboards.
Did you just throw the dog in the back and go to hunt?
Yeah. And then I think I was 17 when I got my first truck, and it was about as good as that dog. We had to take a sawzall and cut a hole in the floorboard, stick a broom handle in there, put it in park and drive and stuff. But I drove that sucker for 2 years. I did.
Oh,
and the dogs acted about like the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When would you say you really got into, getting serious about it? I mean, starting to look for better dogs. And how do you transition into,
I got my first Lipper dog. I swear. I know everybody hates some suckers, but I like them wild. Like, I still like them wild like that. He was out of Lipper and a Fly. When I really started getting serious, I think he was born in 89 or 90. And, man, that sucker had a motor. Gosh, and he would run anything that would run from him. And he loved skunks. I ended up, I don't know, he would kill them and eat them. I think on number 20 or 22, I this might not be appropriate for this, but I heard all them old-timers about smothering. I cut that dude open. That dead skunk, I cut that dude open and smothered that dog. And that slowed him down. It didn't break him, but it slowed him down.
Yeah.
But, man,
it probably was pretty rough hauling a skunk, skunk killer in a Mustang.
I smelled like that for years until I sold him.
I bet that car still smells like skunk.
It was miserable. Actually, that was a truck. I done graduated to a truck.
Josh was talking to who was Zane Allen. They were talking about hauling dogs around in SUVs and stuff. And I had a buddy of mine that got that bright idea of turning a Jeep Cherokee into the ultimate hunting vehicle. It was all working real good until the skunk night.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was just like,
It don't go away.
No.
It's
driving down the road with your head hanging out the window, puking down the side of the car. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, this is the ultimate hunting vehicle.
I remember walking into a bank the next morning from doing that. I swear I did. Walked into a bank, and everybody just kind of backed out and was looking at me. And I had to explain to them what I'd done. And I swear I was too dumb to wash that off. I probably wore that skunk for a week or two. But, it slowed him down, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got a Lipper dog.
I got a Lipper dog, and that really, actually, I put him in his first hunt. He didn't even treat until he was probably 17, 18 months old. But when he started treeing, man, he was lights out.
Was he really loud?
Yes, gosh, like a dog? Yes. He was a typical loud, screaming, ball-mouthed tree dog. And I put him in his first hunt at Blue Tick Days in Ashton, Ohio. And drew Chip Fletcher from Pennsylvania. I don't know if that's the horse trainer or not, which I doubt it, but Chip Fletcher. And it come down to the last tree, and that sucker left that tree and went about 10 feet and treed again, and that cost me a win in Blue Tick Days. And I put him in, I think, two more hunts and made him a night champion and sold him to Clay Lines. That was a good one. That was a real good one.
How old would you have been there?
Probably 23.
Yeah, 23.
24, 23, 24.
Yeah.
And you and Clay, since that time, have been best friends.
Blocked up, yeah.
Yeah. Still today, partners on dogs.
Yeah, I talk to him every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he come up. he had a female. Clay had a female that Jerry Watts had. Or Jerry Watts had a male. And Clay come up to breed to that male dog. Well, Jerry called me and asked me if I'd take him hunting because I got some pretty decent hunt up north. And I said, yeah, but I'm taking my dog. And he said, that's fine. So we took, what the heck, Bugsy. I called him Bugsy Malone. We took Bugsy, and he took his dog. That was about 1991. And he come up to breed the old Ace. That's the dog. Remember Ace? Mm-hmm. He come up to breed the Ace, and Bugsy treed 14 singles that night. And Clay said, I'm taking that dog home. I said, no, I don't think so. He said, yeah, I'm taking that dog home. And he said, well, what would you have to have for him? And I knew I'd priced him way too high back then. I ain't going to say it, but he jerked the money out of his pocket and took him home with me. And we have been best friends ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good one. Good, good outfit.
So you partnered with him on other dogs over the years?
We actually just started partnering up about, 10 years ago or so?
Yeah, probably. That I know of, Sheriff.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's where Clay's as good as they come. It don't matter. If he says no, we ain't doing it. If I say no, he ain't doing it. So it don't matter. It works good. And now we're partnered with Dorian Kreitz on that dog, on Little Tank.
Yeah. Well, when did you start hunting PKC? Because that's where Molly did most of her winning, wasn't it?
Excuse me. Yeah. I don't know. I was in high school, so it would have been, I'm going to guess, 83, 84. Somewhere around in there.
What's your number?
25403.
Is there something coded on?
I have
25,000?
No,
there were 25,000 members in 83 or 84?
I was in high school and I graduated in 85, so. I'm not sure. I could be wrong, but
yeah.
I'm pretty sure I was in high school. But I didn't hunt them hard then like I did in the 90s and in 2000.
Yeah. What year did you graduate?
85.
85.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hunted all the way through the 90s, and we got to talk about Molly. It's killing me. I want to talk about Molly.
Let's talk about Snatched.
All right, talk about Snatched.
That's the best coon dog I've ever turned loose.
All right.
Snatched was the best. She's right out of Flat Rock Coma.
What made Snatched such a great dog?
She was just deep. You turn her loose in the desert, and she's going to go tree a coon. And would have a coon when she treed.
Yeah.
No dens, no, I think there's a hole over here. When she treed, you're going to see a coon.
Load the rifle.
Every time.
Plus them up on the
plus
way to
them
the
up.
Tree.
Yep. Yep. If the money hunts for what they were back then, I don't want untelling. Of course, everybody says that.
Better the better.
Yeah. Yeah. You bet. No, she was the best.
But somebody had hunted a dog like Molly, and you know, she was the all-time money winner for a long time. And you're saying Snatch is a better dog.
Snatch is a better coon dog. I didn't say she's a better competition dog.
Best coon dog.
Yeah.
Well, let's save that thought. I want to talk about what made Molly such a good competition dog. And I'm going to tell a story about how I know how she won some of the money.
She was good. I'm telling you, she was good, but she had a good handler behind her.
But Snatch, you did a lot of winning with Snatch,
too. Did a lot of winning with Snatch. I think she's got about, even back then, heck, there was $10 hunts back then. I think she's got about 43 or 44,000 won.
That's the amazing thing that I look at, and we talk about it a lot, but, you know, back when you were hunting Snatch and when you were hunting Molly, those hunts were $10 and $15 hunts, and you were winning it that way.
Yeah, that's how I won probably 70% of the money. Yeah, all of it was one on snatch like that.
How many nights a week were you hunting?
Every night.
You were going to a cast?
Oh, no, going to hunts. They didn't really have that many weeknight hunts back then. It was just Friday and Saturday. Heck, you could go to a freaking $50 hunt. It's like Seaman, Ohio. They had one of the better clubs around here. They'd have a 500 at it. You couldn't pull in the parking lot. There'd be 60, 70 dogs there on just a $50 hunt, maybe a 500 at it. We ain't like it now. There's a hunt everywhere.
Well, what would the payout be on that hunt back then?
Close to 1,000, probably. Because there's so many dogs, and then they'd have usually a 500 at it or something. A split would be about $1,000.
Okay, so just for the simple math, think about doing that.
Your hunt money's only going to be $290.
Yeah.
So back then, you're getting two. If you got in and you split, it was $290. And 90% of the time, I'd split.
Yeah.
I always took that bird in the hand.
How many cast wins did you win with that dog?
With Snatch? Molly?
With Snatch?
I don't know.
To get 44,000.
A bunch.
Did you hit any big licks and any big hunts?
Uh-uh.
No nationals? No.
Oh, yeah. I think I got fifth or sixth in the world hunt and fifth or sixth in the nationals. I guess that's a little bit of a big lick.
That's a big lick.
Yeah. She was a good one.
Was Snatch one that you get tied for a truck with, or did you get second?
Yeah, I got second with Snatch.
But you didn't win nothing, though, did you, other than second place?
No. Randy Jacquard hunted her in that truck hunt. We'd bought her the year before, and Randy's been friends with us forever, too. Mm-hmm. He's a good outfit, and he's got great hunting. He lives in Delaware, Ohio. But, she got second. That's that little black and tan female. I think his name, I forget his last name, but Stephen, I believe it was Gamble. It was a good little black and tan. And she won that dude right at the freaking end of the hunt.
Let's set this up a little bit, because I want our listeners to understand it, too. What did it take to get to the truck hunt then?
Oh, shit.
How many truck hunts were there?
There was one truck hunt, and you had to get the handler of the month, or the dog had to get... No, it was a handler had to get handler of the month. Actually, there was two. Dog of the month and a handler. Yeah, there was two.
That's right. I remember that.
and they waited about 4 or 5 years, and then they started giving top four.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, that was just like the second or third truck hunt they'd had, so there was only two back then.
So you had to be the highest earning in the nation for that month?
Yeah. Either the handler or the dog to get a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did it take? Lay that out for us. Describe what that took.
Oh, you spent $3,000 trying to earn $1,000. Going up and down the road, missed a lot of work. I had a pretty good job. Excuse me. I had a pretty good job running heavy equipment, so I could kind of take off. I remember going one time, I drove all the way to Nickens Club and down in southern Tennessee.
Yeah.
Or a one-hour hunt through the week to get Molly a ticket. And that was the toughest $10 cast I've ever hung, I'm telling you. I drove all the way down there and drew Nickens.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was some tough hunting down there.
So you're running up and down the road.
Oh, get home in time to take a shower and go to work.
Come in, sleep a couple hours in the
afternoon,
and do it again. Come in,
sleep a couple hours and go somewhere up, drive another 3 or 4 or 5 hours somewhere and try and get up.
How'd you 60 do it? Set. I mean,
I used to be skinny. I used to be skinny and had a full head of hair.
I think you had a full head of hair when I drew you with Molly years ago.
I guarantee it, yeah. Yeah.
I did too.
Oh, man. I believe it or not, I still got hair. When my daughter was born, she was born with cancer. And about 8 or 9 months into that, she... She lost all her hair, so I shaved mine.
Yeah.
Never grew it back.
Yeah. Just kept it off.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
We'll get off that.
Yeah. Yeah, we better move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hunting Snatch all those, how long did you hunt her?
Hunted her since she was about 8 and sold her to somebody in Tennessee. She went right back home pretty much.
So, you were hunting Snatch and then Molly came along.
Terry Shearer. Randy Gadd had Yaya. He had the mother that let her pups. And I went to hunt at Liberty. And I'd been hunting a little bit with Terry Shear up there. I already knew Terry. And I told Terry about this litter of whitey pups that are doing a raffle on one of them for $5. He said, well, give me a couple tickets. So I bought him some. Well, Terry won Molly. Well, he took her home, and I think there was probably 2 or 3, 4 months old back then. I'm not sure exactly sure how that went. He called me.
Wait a second. You bought raffle tickets for
$5.
And you bought two.
I was probably 3 or 4, probably $20 worth, probably.
Oh, so you bought her for, you got her for $20.
Well, I mean, yeah. But I didn't own her, though. I bought the tickets for Terry.
Yeah.
So Terry got her up there. About 2 or 3 days later, Terry called Randy and bought Abby Littermate. He ended up getting 3 of the pups, I think. See, Molly, Abby, and Trash.
Yeah.
Well, Jody Slusher got Trash from Terry. After that, they started training. Kuma was about 4 months old. Little big fellas. And I watched Molly the whole time. But now she changed hands. Terry's cousin, Matt Smith, had bought her. I think Jody even might have bought her at one time. But the whole time, it's all right there in a 20-mile circle. So right. I've got my eye on her the whole time.
Yeah.
And then Terry ends up, she gets to be about 13, 14 months old. And I think Terry got her at Spring Classic. I believe they hunted that off. It was a pup derby, and he won that. And now she's got a pup ticket, you know. And Snatch is getting up in years.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think I got in that night in the open hunt with Snatch. And I told Alan Wilson, I said, we need to get the dog. You know, you know, what do you want for? So I called Terry, and we worked out a deal and got her bought. And, man, it just, like, taken off like a rocket ship.
Had you hunted with her quite a bit?
Oh, I'd hunted with her. Yeah, I seen her. I went up there hunting when they were 5 and a half months old. I think Molly and Abby, Terry had both of them. And we turned them loose. It was, well, I can tell you they were born in April. And it was December, and there was snow on the ground. So they were, I think it was November. Whatever it was, they were 5 or 6 months old. We turned both of them loose, and they got in there and got split treat. He said, let's go get a beer. He said, son, they're just puppies. He goes, they'll be there. So we went into town and got a beer and came back, and them two sitting in there still treating. We went in there, and they both had coon. Shot them out. And I believe the next dump, them two went in there and fought like lions. They treated on a tree together. Now, I mean, and Molly and Abby were both. Molly was smaller. Molly was about 32 pounds. Abby might have been 35, but you'd never heard two females fight on a tree. Gosh, I knew when she was that old, I had to have that one. I had to have one of those two. But I think, let's see, Matt, Terry's cousin had her.
Thank you.
Jody had her. And then Terry ended up with her, back with her. And then we bought her when she had a pup ticket. And it took off.
How old would she have been at that point?
When we had her, when we bought her, she was 2. Spring Classic, I think, then was in March or April. She just turned 2.
Just turned 2.
Uh-huh. I think I won the national female that year.
Uh-huh.
I believe it is. I think I did.
What kind of dog was she?
Everybody's kind of dog. You could turn her loose from a mile from the woods, or you could turn her loose in the woods. She was going to get struck for 100, and she had the weirdest mouth. It sounded like just a shrill. When she come on a tree, you could treat her. She's the one bark tree dog, and yeah. She was going to stay. We had to work on it a little bit. But
did you ever hunt with her, Bob?
Yeah, I hunted with her several times.
What did you think about her?
Loved her and hated her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everybody.
Hated drawing her, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. See, if you was in a cast going to tree one coon, more times than not, she was going to tree it. If you was in a cast treeing multiple coons, she was treeing most of them.
Yeah.
She was just, and couldn't get struck on her.
No.
If you could get struck on her, you couldn't get struck on Chris.
That was it right there. That's it.
They was the perfect team. That's a fact.
I'll tell you what, I was hunting a pretty good strike dog when I drew her, and I was kind of amazed. I was like, I'm not going to get struck tonight. She's going to carry it. And she was just action-packed.
Always. That's what he's talking about. If you're going to tree one coon, she was probably going to tree it. But now, if you treat 7, 8, 9 coon, she was going to get all of hers and some of yours too.
Well, the night I drew her, we were at St. Leon.
Yeah.
And it was summer, and there was a lot of leaves on the trees. Went up there We went over there west of the club over in those flats.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, she loved that stuff.
Oh, I know. She, yeah. You lit up.
Yeah.
And she'd already won two trucks by that time, and you were still hunting her.
Oh, I hunted her till she died.
Yeah. But turn her loose, a lot of leaves on the trees. We made a lot of trees that night.
Yeah.
And we found a few of the coons.
Right.
But, yeah, we'll get into the handling side of it here in a little bit. tell us about her first truck she won.
First truck she won.
Yeah, the first truck she won.
I don't remember too. Well,
are you still driving it?
No, I sold that. Let me tell you something about that. That was a Dodge. And I'm sorry for all these Dodge fans, but I'm going to tell you right. We left the casino in that Dodge. I didn't go 4 miles down the highway, and the front end started hopping around. I pulled that sucker over and stopped, and I looked at it, and ain't nothing broke loose. There's nothing wrong with it. I got back up to about 65. We ain't 10 miles, it starts doing it again. And Alan's following me. I pulled that thing up. I said, dude, we're selling this thing. He said, what are you talking about? I said, Alan, this thing, the front end's already messed up on it. And it only had 12, 15 miles on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't have no miles on it. And before I got to the Tennessee line, I'd already had that truck sold. I delivered it to my boss. But now to give it credit.
Took you three days to get back with it.
He drove that sucker for, I bet, 10 years. And he never had trouble out of it. But I'm going to tell you right now, for the first 15 miles, that thing was hopping all over the road. The front of it was bouncing. I thought, what in the world? I want a Sanford and Son truck here. That's what I had.
On the way back from Mississippi, you're on the phone. It's like, have I got a deal for you?
You better believe it. You better believe it. I'm telling you, before I hit Tennessee line, I'd sold that truck. It wasn't staying in my driveway.
Yeah, yeah. What year you think that was?
That was 2000. Then I got down there and got beat 2001. Then I won that 2002 Ford. That's a pretty good truck. I put about 300.
So you took a year off?
No, I actually got a truck ticket, but I just got beat.
2000. But I mean,
in 2001.
You missed it in 2001.
Yeah.
Did you? What happened that year?
I got an early round win, I believe. And got beat the late round.
Gotcha.
I couldn't tell you who beat me, but I got beat.
Yeah.
It's funny how you remember the people you beat, but you can't remember the ones that beat you.
Yeah.
Somebody, I got beat.
I don't know. I've been beat so much. It's hard for me to keep track of. I remember the memorable ones. That's for sure.
I have to.
Yeah. And then 2002, she comes back and she wins another one.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, she was what, 4 years old? She just turned 4 year old.
Yeah.
And how much she'd win by then?
It was about 60,000, I think. Yeah.
The two trucks would have been 60, wouldn't it?
50. It was 25 apiece, yeah.
Yeah.
And then by that time, she had done one national leading female, too,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the one year. I believe it was the year that we was hunting against Ronnie Smith, hunting Stone for the national race. We got up to take a picture, and they had so many plaques that they couldn't get them all in a picture, so they took two pictures and they kind of faded them in there to where they'd all fit in there. From not the plaques, but the photography deal,
mm-hmm.
where they'd put national female leader, state champion, all that stuff. There was like seven of them. She won the heck out of it.
Yeah.
Did good.
That's no small feat either. I mean, because you're running, you're from Ohio, you're running Indiana, you're running Kentucky, going to all these hunts. And this is...
Well, when the national race, you got to go everywhere.
Yeah, but
Oklahoma that year.
Think about the competition just right here, local. Indiana, I think Indiana has the most world champions on record. Then Ohio is next, and then Kentucky's right behind them. So right where you're at, you got to be packing.
Oh, it's stiff, yeah. Well, I grew up junior and Doug Jackson, they ended up 20 miles from me.
Heck yeah.
I grew up with all them guys, yeah. I learned how to handle
it. Yes, you did. You learned it $10 at a
yes,
time.
Yes, I did. I spent about $100,000 getting my lesson by the time I was 30.
She went on to win. She was what? I always said it earlier, 111?
111 or 12. 111 something. Yeah.
And what year did she accomplish that? What year did she actually get to the high scoring female? Because you added to it after she.
Yeah, I did a little bit. It was I was in Illinois, the old Sesser Club. It was the last hunt. No, I'm taking that back. I'm wrong. Our state hunt. She was about 6 or 7 years old. Our state hunt was in March, and it was blue cold. And Stone, I was only about, I'm going to say less than $1,000 behind Stone. Or not Stone, Cracker. And we turned, I think she made the only tree in the late round, and she had an early litter of kittens. We could look down in the tree, and you could see the kittens, and that put me ahead of Silver Dollar Cracker.
Hmm.
She's got either 299 or 300 cash wins in PKC alone.
That's just amazing.
PKC. Yeah, and I won some money. I won a bunch in AKC, and she's probably got 400 or so, maybe 500 cash wins altogether.
Yeah. Did you ever keep track of, like, her lifetime earnings and all and everything?
No, I won collars and dog boxes and all kinds of stuff. That's back when that was fun. Well, of course, you won $100,000 now in one hunt. That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
I remember drawing him when he was probably, I don't know, 13 or 14, somewhere around in there. And I think it was at Owensville. Now, I'm not going to mention any names, but I'd been doing quite a bit of winning, and this sucker's about to beat us. And we go in there to shine his tree. I don't think he was hunting your dad's
dozer dog.
Yeah, I believe it was. And these two goofballs don't want to shine that tree. If he's got a coon, he wins the cast. I don't know if we found a coon or not, but I got ticked off and told him, I said, guys, if you don't shine this tree, don't expect me to turn my light on the rest of the night. I don't care if you tree went up the telephone, but my light's not going up in that tree. And them lights started hitting that tree. I don't remember if he had a coon or not, but
I don't remember either, but I remember the night we was at Owensville.
I think it was Owensville, yeah. Yeah, and they started shining that tree. They probably wouldn't have said if I found it or not, but I remember that.
Well, how did you get you guys bred her?
One time. That's why I bought. People don't know this. I actually bought Molly. She was mine when she died. I bought her when she was about 8 and a half. I bought her off Larry, two breeder, because I had a ton of pups sold out over if I could get her bred. She only come in once a year.
Larry who? Cause
Weaver.
Okay.
Larry Weaver. Yeah. And Alan Wilson had owned her up till she was probably 6 or 7, then he sold her to Larry Weaver. Mm-hmm. And then when Larry got done with her, I bought her. And then I had her about 7 months, and she had a big lump come up on her side, took her to the vet, and she had to eat up with cancer. So I only owned her about, I don't know, 7, 8 months before I'd have her put to sleep. And then, you know, I've had her since she was 2. She'd never left my house since she was 2.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't own a hair on her until she about dead. But
so you were just hunting her?
I was just hunting her. I paid a fortune for her when she was about dead. But Larry, to give credit, Larry credit, he had no idea.
Right.
She was at my house.
Yeah. Yeah. And who'd you guys breed her to?
Silver Dollar Stone. That was the year we was running that national race against each other.
Yeah. How'd those pups turn out?
They were good ones. Yeah. They were all, a lot of people didn't realize I had the only male pup out of that cross, and he was a for real dog. He was a good one. I named him Jake after Daryl Newton's boy, Jacob. But people don't realize we bred her when she was 2 and a half. Well, I never stopped hunting her, so I couldn't run him in the hunts. And people kept saying he didn't turn that. He didn't. I guarantee you he was a coon dog, good one. But I couldn't run two dogs in the hunt, so he was just my pleasure dog around the house. But he was. They all turned out pretty good. Alan had one. Steve Fielder bought one. They just Alan knocked a big 8x8 wooden block off the top of the doghouse and knocked one in the head and killed it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and he had them all sold. Hmm. But they all turned out pretty good. I think one went to New York, Freddie Guerin. Is that his name? It was up in New York.
I don't know.
He had a pretty good one. Old female turned out real nice.
Do you know what her pup earnings are?
Yeah, you no idea. I like to do what we did tonight. Go out and treat coons. I don't keep track of that stuff.
Yeah.
have no idea.
Well, how much, you know, when you're running hunts like that and you know what you got and you're trying to keep Molly out front and you're trying to catch the leader, you know, how much stress does that put on you?
Oh, a million times stress. Drove me nuts, especially going through that crap with my daughter. I was in Paducah, Kentucky at a pro hunt. And my wife called me.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Bailey's blood count's low. I'll turn around. I was in Paducah. We were going to a pro hunt. I'll turn around and I'll head home, and we're talking a six-hour drive.
Right.
Don't you dare. And that was, I've done one a couple pro hunts. Don't you dare turn around. I just want to let you know, just to ease your mind. Well, that didn't help me a bit.
Right.
That drove me nuts. I got beat. Probably my fault. I don't know. But I drove straight home.
After the hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just trying to work, and I don't think, I guess what I'm trying to do is talk to the people that aren't familiar.
Oh, you know,
we've all been doing it. We know, I mean, I've been around guys like you. I've never ran for that, you know, that like that, up and down the roads like you guys have.
You got to have, well, McNeil Creasy just said it, you got to have a good woman, a good dog. You also have to have a good job. Well, nowadays they're paying the handlers good, but I had a pretty good job.
Yeah.
So.
Got to be about half crazy, too.
You definitely got to do that. A lot of alone time in the truck. A lot of alone time in the truck.
Yeah.
And some dogs can't take all them hunts. Some dogs are, you know, they're on their high for two or three years, and they're just, they can't take it.
What do you think? Did Molly seem to travel
she
good?
Was oh, yeah. She rode in the front seat. She rode in the front seat.
Yeah.
But now, if we went to, you know, Owen, the local club, Midway or something, she's in the dog box. But if I traveled, you know, for a long, I didn't want her beat to death in the back of that box.
Mm-hmm.
She rode in the front seat. Hell, she won the truck. I'll put her in there.
Were you the first person to put them in the truck with you?
Yeah. I actually was, yeah.
Yeah. And then after that
Everybody
put them in the front with yeah. them and got their picture.
Funny back. You said that.
It became iconic because yeah. I remember when you did it.
Yeah. That was that like, red Dodge. It wasn't worth a quarter. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was her truck.
What have you seen that's changed since those days when you were running, you know, up and down the road trying to get that national?
I've seen a lot of everybody. I mean, Bub talked about it. We all talked about this tonight. Everybody's shocking these dogs to be alone and deep. Now, I get that. But my dog's pretty independent. I'm still going to be alone and deep. But now, if he ain't doing nothing, I want some of yours.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't want that no more. I don't care. I'll take 50 of yours plus 200 of mine over here.
Yeah.
We don't do nothing else the rest of the night. I'm going to get some of it.
Yeah.
Two coons is hard to beat, ain't it?
You ain't kidding me.
Right.
But that everybody wants that deep and long. Tank will trim 10 feet from a truck.
Tonight.
Yes, you did. And that sucker sounded good in there. She did sound good. I didn't realize what a good tree dog she was until I heard her in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he'll trim, you know, 10 feet from a truck or go a mile. I'd rather have him 10 feet from a truck, obviously, but I'll take what I can get.
Yeah. Close and handy's pretty nice.
Oh, shoot, yeah. But, yeah, that's that deep and alone, I've seen that. That has come full, and it's all electronics.
Yeah.
Shocking and beating. And
you think it's more electronics, or you think we're breeding it into
them? We're definitely breeding it into them, but – I mean, they're still dogs at the end of the day.
Uh-huh.
They're a pack animal. But most of them are afraid to even get close to a dog.
So you think it's a combination of genetics?
I think it's a combination.
We're getting there. We're moving that direction.
Yeah.
But to put the final touches on it. Bub, you train a lot of dogs. What do you think?
As much of it is the training as it is with the genetics. And I think a lot of the dogs, the amount of dogs you're seeing that's getting hit nowadays on the roads is more so the handler. And the training, far as with pushing them away from other dogs, training them to be away from, instead of having coon training on their mind, they're more so worried about getting away from other dogs first.
Yeah.
Then they get coon training on their mind once they're far enough away from them other dogs.
Well, considering how many people you talk to, and you know you sell a lot of good dogs. You know how many people that call you are still looking for that deep and lonely independent coon train dog? All of them?
No, I ain't gonna say all of them. A lot of them. And really it comes down to competition hunters versus pleasure hunters.
Uh-huh.
The competition hunters, more so they want the deep and lonely. Pleasure hunters, and a lot of it comes down to where they're from. If they're from areas that's not got a heavy coon population, they'd be a lot, they're a lot happier with a dog that will pack some. Maybe they hunt feeder buckets. Maybe they want all they can get on that feed, that one coon on that feeder bucket.
Yeah.
But the guys that's running hunts all over the country, they more so want a deep and lonely type of dog.
Mm-hmm.
Preferably a high-end striped dog that's deep and lonely. Yep.
Do you think that's coming? Are you having to work harder to make dogs deep and lonely than what you used to? Or has it been kind of a phenomenon your entire hunting career?
More so now, I guess, as far as more people wanting it, training it a little bit more, but at the same time, you're seeing a more natural, deep
That's
and lonely type of dog,
for.
I guess. And but right back to it, the type of hunting that they're going to, the type of hunting that you're in, is deep and lonely work.
Hey, you know, you think about that. Was Molly naturally independent? I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. But now, if she wasn't doing that, she's going to get some of yours.
Yeah.
A lot of yours.
Right. But now we're seeing dogs that just won't even look, you know.
No.
They hear something treat over here, they're going this way.
Dead opposite way.
And to think that we've come from that, you know, back in the 80s, early 90s, to where we're at now, where we're getting more natural, independent dogs, that says a lot for the power of breeding and how you can manipulate those genetics to do that.
I've never whipped that dog out there one time. He is naturally independent.
Mm-hmm.
But now,
that's the way Jazz is.
Yeah.
Jazz is. She just doesn't. She's a weirdo. She doesn't like other dogs. I was really surprised she was with your dogs.
They run. They jammed that one up.
And she didn't like being there. You heard her when we were walking in there. She's like, woo, woo, you know, bellied up. But she's like, I'm here. Don't touch me. You know, type stuff.
She didn't treat nothing on that tree with them other dogs like she did when she was way through there by herself.
When she was by herself, she was clicking.
She was really treeing
them. Yeah, she sounded good.
Yeah, but when and it's just, she prefers not to be there. And it's not because I've trained her to be that way.
Yeah.
But as you saw, she will get treed with other stuff too. I just think it's amazing that we've been able to take the genetics and do that with the dog, whether it's right or wrong. You know, the whole study of it, of being able to manipulate those genetics for those traits.
But you take somebody like this one right here, like Bub, he's, common sense is 90% of it, and he's done so good with these dogs, it's unreal. He's probably one of the best.
All right.
It's all it takes is common sense.
He's sitting here shaking his head, and we both know what it is.
It's common sense, man.
Yeah.
It's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Bub, there's no mistaking it. I mean, anybody that can post a video of a dog on Facebook and it's sold before you can even call about it, you know.
Yeah, that's a fact.
I was watching that English dog you had, and I was like, all right, I'm going to watch this
dog. Yeah, that's a good-looking rascal,
too. Yeah, because that tricolor English, I'm a sucker for it anyway, and you know me, I like hunting the off-colored stuff anyway. And I was watching it, and then, like, he's gone. I was like, crap. And then that's why I posted that next one when I said, hey, tell me he's for sale without saying he's for sale on Facebook. And Bub says if he's posted on Facebook, he can have a new address.
Yeah, I see that.
Now I know the rules, okay? Find another one. Find another off-color dog.
I'm looking.
Oh, man.
I'm going to have to hunt Noel Allen down.
He's got a bunch of them over here, but he's all females.
So, but the other thing I was going to ask you about, with so many hunts now, and so many big-time payouts, is it easier for somebody? Have we cheapened the title of that all-time money?
No, God, no. No.
Why not? You did it running $10 and $15 hunts.
Yeah, but still, when you're just like Engel, when you're hunting for $100,000, you still got to go through that whole stage of beating it. And you're not hunting against $10 dogs.
Best
when you're
of
paying
the best.
When you're paying $4,000 entry fee, you're beating the best of the best. You're not going to draw a call out there.
Yeah.
Dog and handler.
Yeah.
That's something that's always talked about. It's always talked about. It's like, well, you know, back in the day, we did this on $10 and $15 hunts, and these guys aren't earning it like we did back in the day.
Yeah, but back in the day, $10 was $10. You're talking $2,500 entry, a $4,000 entry. They're not going to. You're not going to spend $4,000 entry with something that might trick coon. You're drawing the best of the best.
And back then, people, you know, guys like me, I was showing up with mountain curs.
Well, I showed up with a possum dog and won my first trophy for $10. That's what I'm talking about.
That's a good perspective.
What's $10?
Yeah. I never really kind of put all that together, but I think you just solved the mystery there, Chris.
Man, I don't know about solving a mystery, but
right though. I mean, if you're going to pay a $6,500 entry fee for Pro Classic,
absolutely,
you're not going to show up with something that's not my tree. Yeah.
It's going to be
bring your A game if you plan on getting in the money.
And you better have a decent handler.
Yeah.
You better have a good handler.
Yeah.
I hear people talk about the dogs 60, 78. It's 50-50.
Do you think?
That handler's got to know the rules. And I ran into it this year at the World Hunt. I'm not going to get into it. But if you don't know the rules, you're going to get schooled.
Well, let me tell you about schooling you gay mates.
I do not recall.
So we're hunting. It's the night we drew up, and I remember this. You say you didn't remember the people who got beat. I remember getting beat by you because I learned something that night. So I don't remember what the score was. I'm not, I can't break it down from. But we were running neck and neck, and we cut loose down a fence row, and
danger zone.
I think I might have even got a strike on you. I think
probably cheated me.
Maybe. I probably pitched.
Whatever it takes.
I had to. I don't know. But anyway, we were running neck and neck, and we knew it was getting close.
Yeah.
It was just.
Somebody better tree.
Yeah. And you're like, won't we step across this ditch so we can hear a little better? And said, if you find a good spot there, you just go ahead and step down in there, and I'll follow you across. Well, I'm down in the ditch, and I hear you tree Molly up on the bank. And I'm like, what'd you say? He said, tree Molly. And I couldn't hear a thing down in that ditch.
I could.
Stepped up. That was the best $10 lesson I ever got. It's like, I should have just said, I can hear fine from right here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's true.
Yep.
And that's what I said earlier. I've spent $100,000 getting them $10 lessons. I'm telling you. But it takes that to compete at that level.
Yeah.
At this level.
Yeah.
It really does.
Are you still having fun?
I'm having a blast out here running around the lake and treeing coos. But, yeah, I have fun at the world hunt and the bigger hunts. I am not going to argue anymore. I'm done with that. I'll take my ball and go home.
Yeah.
I'm too old to mess with that stuff anymore.
But you're still having fun running hunts
absolutely,
and stuff.
Yeah. Shoot your arrow up and be doing it.
Right.
And my little boy loves it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it.
What do you think keeps the fire going?
I don't know, man. I played sports, all through school. I think if you're competitive, it's in you.
Yeah.
When we get too fat and old to play high school sports, we got coon dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I still love it.
What's your lifetime earnings?
Oh, I have no idea.
You don't know?
I really don't know.
Really?
Probably a little over 100,000, I would imagine. Yeah. Well, maybe more than that, I guess.
I'd say probably $130,000 at least.
I think that's probably more than that because I put probably 35 on Snatch.
Yeah. And then 111 on Molly, you said?
Yeah, but I didn't get all that. Randy put about $3,000 or $4,000 on her, Randy Jacquard. Actually, Dale Saunders put a couple hundred on her. When we was running for that national race, we had a tag team because some days I had to be at work.
That's important, too. When you're that's like that year we ran country and got to ran the national race. It was a tag team deal.
You got
there were a couple days where I had to run to northern Indiana and grab him and he came back south but Steve did most of it. Steve Burkholder.
Yeah.
He did most of that. But you gotta have a network.
Oh, you bet you do.
Yeah.
You bet you do.
But it's just one of those things. I mean, I see how much fun you have. I
enjoy being around everybody. I enjoy it.
I'm telling you, every time I'm around you, it's like a party around you all the time.
I like having fun. Lee Varner comes up here. I got a spot a little up north. I'm not going to say where it is, but he calls it Benghazi because there's so many stinking coons up there. They're everywhere. And it is. It's a blast. We need to go up there.
We will.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a blast coming over here and hunting. Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, it's funner when wait a minute. I about messed up. I'm about to say it's funner when you train a lot of coon, but we did. We treat 12, 15 tonight.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know it, man.
Yeah.
Nobody else is here to call us live.
Nah.
Well, Bub, you've always, What made you want me? What made you want me to interview Chris?
My book, he's the best.
Oh shit!
He's you know it. I've always thought the world of him. He's when he was on top, winning everything. He's always been the same. No matter what, he's been Chris.
That's true.
Whoever it was he was hunting against, running whatever race, hey, he'd make a point to speak to every person he's seen, every kid. He's brag on everybody's dog. Just always been a good guy.
Yeah. That's what I remember with it. Yeah, just the one time I drew you, Chris, it was like, here I am hunting with Molly. She's an all-time money leader. She'd already won 2 trucks, and you're out there saying, hey, your dog looked good on that coon. Your dog did this. She's just a pretty common dog. Of course, you were gaming me a little bit.
But. Well, no, I'm making a point to do that. I remember when I was young, and it makes younger, not that you're younger than me, but it makes some guys feel good. And
absolutely.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
They did it to me.
I hunted a dog named Slam for a long time. That was a litter mate to Jerry Maul's Salt Creek Jenny female. Mm-hmm. Great big old dog. And Chris, every time he'd see me, brag on him about how good a looking dog
he was. He was a good looking dog.
It tickled me to death because Chris Allen was bragging on him. Just saying he's a good looking dog and carrying on. I drew him a good bit and stuff like that. And always looked forward to drawing him. And going out there, hey, you learn, if you didn't learn something out there with him or what, pick up on something out there with him. And if nothing else, you'd have a damn good time always with him.
Yeah.
It's always a good time.
Yeah. Did Jerry end up buying Sam back from you?
No, it was a dog named Slam. But no,
Slam.
Yes, yeah, Slam.
Okay, I misheard you. He had one named Sam.
He had one named Sam.
Then he had Socket.
Yep.
Yeah, he had Socket and Sam there at the same time for a while.
Yeah. But Slam, he was a litter mate to Jenny.
Okay.
He was a real nice dog, though, just kind of like what Chris was saying, wasn't a dead loner always, be by himself more than enough, but was going to be under a coon. If nothing was going on, he'd get a part of yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the funnest thing, what's the best memory you have of running up and down the road, Chris?
Meeting everybody?
Mm-hmm.
I've got more. Yeah, I grew up right here, but I swear I think I've got more friends in the coon hunting world. And I'm not taking anything away. I've got a lot of friends here. But you just meet so many people, good people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean guys that won't say 2 words to you, you know, in public. These coon hunters. Do you get some guys that don't see sunlight about 2 or 3 hours a day? They're just as good of people as anybody. And I appreciate some of them guys. I don't know how to say it, you know. They've got your back. You know, if you treat them right, they'll go to their grave for you.
Yeah.
I mean, good, good country guys.
I've seen that a lot, too. You know, when Jerry Maul's daughter was sick, you know, and seeing coon hunters come together.
Oh, you bet.
What we do, what we've done for the St. Jude Children's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many millions of dollars we've raised and donated to the hospital through that Parsons, Tennessee hunt.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's causes like that going on everywhere. I see guys at, you know, local coon club volunteering their time at the local, you know, children's hospital and stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
We still do it every year here at Dayton Children's, the Children's Miracle Network, because of Bailey was in it.
Yep.
Heck, they flew us to Florida. Let me tell you a short, quick story. They flew us to Florida, and you know, I ain't never been in nothing limousine fancy like that. Excuse me. And there's a pond. They put each family in a real nice condo. And there's a pond all the way around this joint. And it is stocked with some of the biggest bass you've ever seen in your life. Well, all the kids had to be in at dark. Bailey's in there watching Nickelodeon doing whatever. I went to Walmart and bought me a Zebco 33, you know, $20 fish of all. Hey, I don't know how many big bass broke my line off the first night. The next day, I went up there and I said, "Do you guys ever fish?" I snuck out. It was dark. You know, coon hunter, you got to sneak in these ponds. I didn't realize we were allowed to fish in there, and I'm sneaking around. But anyway, next day, I said, "Do you guys allow?" "Oh, yeah, it's for all our guests." Are you kidding me? They've got 2 of them in their stock that are over 14 pounds, and I'm looking at pictures of these fish. I'm going back to Walmart. They had poles there, but they were junk. So I bought every Zebco 33. I bought like 15 or 16 Zebco 33s and came back, bought all kinds of night crawlers. Came back, and those kids caught more fish. Look here. I've hooked in one of these monsters. I mean, that pole's. And one of them little girls comes over. I want to reel it in. Can I reel it in? Can I reel it in? I'm like, oh, crap. Yeah, you sure can. And she reeled, she got it in. It was 14 pounds, 3 ounces, and I had to give her my fishing ball. That broke my heart, but I had to do it. But, yeah, that you talking about St. Jude's, that's, it's unreal what coon hunters, you know, round up to take care of each other.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why we do the podcast, is shed light on stuff like that. I think we're going to need that. You know, we need to, and this is the part that's difficult, because coon hunters don't ever want recognition for it. You know, you take, you know, people from Hollywood and they or politicians, and they like getting their picture taken, handing that check over and stuff. And coon hunters are just kind of more low key, and they just don't do stuff. You
I
know?
Ain't gonna lie to you, I'm a nervous wreck right now. I've turned down about 6 of these. I'm dead serious. I didn't want to do it, but I like you, and I enjoy, and I know Bub. We've known each other forever.
But
I agreed to it.
But we do those things, and we've got to start using it to our advantage.
Oh, gosh.
You know, and not being flashy about it, no. But not being
just
scared to put our name out there, and
but putting the good out there that
we
do.
Yeah, we got to. So. You got anything else? You got any closing thoughts? What words of wisdom can we get from Chris Allen tonight for coon hunters all across the world?
I ain't got no words. To go turn them loose.
Go turn them loose.
Go turn them loose.
Have a good time.
I'll give you that one. Have a good time. I have a blast. I love I hate when it's controversy and everybody's just beating and shocking and stomping, even pleasure hunting. I've been at this too long. I'm having fun. I don't care if we run a deer for 16 miles. If I can hear it, I want
to
hear it.
I need to hook you up with some plots. Damn. And that way you know, you don't have any expectations. Whatever
your dogs
they
look
do.
Good tonight.
Whatever they do.
Yeah.
Bub, you got any words of wisdom for us?
I don't, Ed.
I appreciate you setting this up. I know you greased the skids here a little bit. I know you did.
I was driving down the road one day, and I was listening to your podcast there, and I thought he needs to get Chris on here. I messaged both of you there and worked on him.
I enjoy hunting more than I do anything now. I mean, as far as I've enjoyed pleasure hunting. I don't mind, you know, going to the world hunt and the bigger pad hunts, but I enjoy pleasure hunting, just listening to the dogs and having fun, just like with you guys.
That's right.
I enjoy doing that.
That's where I'm at. You know, I just enjoy traveling around and meeting good people and having a good time and being more laid back. And
yes,
and I used to be pretty miserable to hunt with back in the day because I was so serious about stuff.
I know.
You know, and now I just show up and it's like, have a good time.
It takes about 1 second to give somebody a compliment on their dog, and I've always thought about that. Just give them a compliment.
Yeah, that's so true. Costs you nothing.
Nothing.
Costs you nothing to be nice.
No.
To be pleasant. To give a compliment. To encourage
and people. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I know I do. I still do.
Oh, yeah. Right.
55 years old, I still do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who don't like a compliment?
How old?
41.
I was wondering.
41.
And we treat how many coons? 18?
18. 18 or 19. I forgot that last one. There was 19 tonight.
Oh, man. Well, Chris, Bub, I appreciate you guys putting up with me and taking me hunting tonight and sitting down and recording a podcast here in the Waffle House.
Yes, by golly, right here in Springboro, Ohio.
You better believe
it. I appreciate you guys coming up and doing this tonight.
Oh, man, we're going to get together and hunt some more, that's for sure.
We're going to have to go up and go Benghazi, as Lee Varner calls it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, rain them down, boys.
Yeah. I've got a couple young dogs that could use some raining down. So, until next time,
yes,
I'm going to wrap it up.
All right.
Until next time. Work on your dogs. Work on yourself.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Houndsman XP podcast. If you did, share it. Share it with all your coon hunting friends, all your hound hunting friends. We're on a mission to preserve this lifestyle that we all enjoy so much. And it's going to take a lot of conversation. It's going to take us talking about it and making it a mainstream conversation. When I was a kid, it wasn't unusual to go to family functions, church functions, things like that, and hear the old timers sitting around talking about chasing hounds at dark. And we've lost that somewhere, but we're gaining ground back. Another way that you can help us is by joining us on Patreon. Patreon is a platform that you can join on a monthly subscription basis and support this show. And I'm not asking you to go over there and support us just to put money in the coffers. Yes, it takes money to produce a show, but we also partner with the Sportsman's Alliance. And when you join us at that highest tier level, that truck to tree dog, for your support, we're going to include a membership to the Sportsman's Alliance. They put out a quarterly magazine. They're going to send you a knife set. It just that membership alone is worth almost $70. So at $12 a month, $144 a year, doing some quick math, almost half of that's going to be recouped by you when you support this show that wants to preserve our lifestyle as houndsmen. It's important to us. I hope it's important to you. Join several other houndsmen that have already stepped up and said, we're done talking, we're going to get in the action here, and we're going to join forces with a great organization like Sportsman's Alliance and get that done. You can join us on Patreon by going to houndsmanxp.com, click the support tab, it'll take you right into our Patreon page, and you're going to get that membership to Sportsman's Alliance. You're going to see all kinds of bonus material over there, tailgate talks, articles, special interview. It's called bonus material. We're going to throw it all out there for you. Plus, we do monthly drawings every month, valued up to $100, semi-annual drawings up to $500, and an annual drawing that's worth up to $1,000. So join us on Patreon. We only have one mission at Houndsman XP, and that's to save it, save our lifestyle. The antis are working hard to take it away from us, and we're going to work harder to keep it going. So join us. It'd be an honor to have you.